The 11 o'clock hour of Lilia Tausch begins now. Now, I actually was able to listen to trivia on the way down. And I always would get Joey Weimer and Jesse Winker confused.
Sure.
And I think they both got traded.
They did, yes. Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Jesse Winker already gone. But he got traded by his, whatever his next team was. So he's been traded again. And then obviously you guys had the trivia with Joey Weimer on the move. Can we call Frankie? What's Frankie's last name?
Montas. Frankie
can
Montas.
Can we call him Frankie Sweet Music Montas? Like we called Frank Viola, Frankie Sweet Music Viola, or is that not acceptable?
If you, Jason, this is your show. You can do whatever you want.
I say it depends how good he is. If he's throwing some sweet music, then okay.
He could be off key.
Clunking, yeah.
Well, I enjoyed the trivia discussion, and I enjoyed the baseball minute. But I do want to get to something that I am very intrigued by. And that was some of the things that Jordan Love, who is, you know, I think he could throw me a pass from where I'm standing. I'm standing behind a stanchion here, so people don't have to listen to one half of the radio show while they're trying to enjoy practice. But he could totally hit me right between the P and the
The P and the what?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure the shirt he was wearing today. So yeah, we'll have to reconnect. Certainly with Jason, but I think
this will
also
happen from time to time. You'll experience this. This will happen when he's at training
camp. But I think
camp.
Part of the excitement today for Packers training camp as well is Marshawn Lloyd getting his first work as a member of the Green Bay Packers. And when I heard the sound yesterday, Jesse, of Adam Stanovich talking about A.J. Dillon and how he's a good 1-2 punch for Josh Jacobs, it seemed like the praise was high. And based on the contract that A.J. Dillon had signed, I wasn't sure if A.J. Dillon's spot was safe. And it very well might not be. Who knows? Because the Packers, in the last couple of seasons, have only carried two running backs on the active roster and then brought up a third running back as the season went along from the practice squad, and they would make those transitions, and they would do that. So Marshawn Lloyd getting his first work today for the Packers, I'm curious to see what he looks like as training camp progresses.
Well, you can hear Jason is back. So, Jason, any eyes on Marshawn Lloyd while you hung up? Was he too intimidating? You had to get rid of us or what?
No. So, I don't want to sound like Tausch with his big tech, but just a little behind the scenes. The way that this little app, the way this app works is I'm connected to 5G or LTE. So I turn off the internet. I get down to Reinitschke Field, and even though I've had the internet turned off, it then switches to a new internet provider, and I'm back on the internet. And then I lose you in the middle of what I thought was incredibly quality entertainment and programming. So I do see Marshawn Lloyd. He is going through drill work with the running backs under the watchful eye of Ben Sermons. So he is here. But the point that I was making before I was so rudely interrupted by the internet connection, because now I got full bars on my 5G, so knock on wood, we should be fine for the rest of the program. But Gabe, if there's anything about Jordan Love that I would be worried about from a personality perspective when it comes to this contract, and I've told this story before because I thought it was one of those moments where a player was incredibly honest. And that doesn't always happen, right? There's times where they're very guarded. They don't want to, show vulnerability. You were talking about A.J. Dillon after I dropped off. A.J. Dillon did that too. A.J. Dillon, when he admitted how much he had been pressing during the 2022 season because he was worried about earning a contract and he had gotten married and his wife was going to have a baby. So he had all those things on his mind. So back in 2015, after Randall Cobb had gotten a lucrative new deal in free agency, after he finished his rookie deal, he had that huge 2014 season. And he struggled, right? They lose Jordy Nelson in preseason. Devontae Adams has to be the number one, outside receiver. He has the ankle injury. He is not performing well, but also Randall Cobb dealt with injuries and inconsistency. And I remember talking to him one day, one-on-one in the locker room, and he basically admitted that he had put such a level of pressure on himself to justify the contract. He didn't get complacent. It was the exact opposite for him. I got my big contract. I'm not going to say, oh, I've arrived. It was, I need to keep proving myself. I need to prove them right that this was money well spent. And he put a level of pressure on himself that adversely affected him. And my experience with Jordan, and again, I don't claim to know Jordan the way I knew Rodgers or the way I knew Favre. I just, first 2 years of his NFL career, I wasn't even in the locker room because of COVID. And so I'm not going to say that I'm some sort of, oh, I've got this window into this Pella window into his soul. But from what I have gathered from being around him, talking to people who know him much better than me, is that he is hyper conscientious. He really cares about it. And you hear Goody talk about how much he loves football. Well, if there is any drawback to this contract, it's that I think he's going to do everything he can to prove the Packers spent their money wisely. And so I asked him a question along those lines when we talked to him on Saturday after practice, and here's how that went.
You were talking about pressure and mental coach. Anybody who's spent time with you now the last couple of years, we can tell you're not the type of guy that's going to get complacent. You're not going to change who you are. But there is, I mean, is there an internal pressure of, and I mentioned this to Matt this morning, like, Randall Cobb, when he got his big contract, he pressed a little bit. He felt like, I have to prove to everybody that I deserve this. Is there that part of it? And do you have to manage that part, like the conscientiousness that you have inside you?
Yeah, you do. I mean, there's always a part that goes into it of that. And that's where you got to stay focused and not trying to do, you know, too much ever. I mean, I always tell the guys out there, don't try and do too much. Just do your job. Stick to that. Be the best at it you can be. Focus on your job and getting better. But, you know, I was talking to Dr. Carr a little bit earlier today just about, you know, that mindset that goes into it of, you know, you got the contract now, not trying to do too much. But, I mean, you know, do the same thing that's got you here. Try and build on that, build on your approach, build on the little things. But, yeah, you got to stay in that mindset of not trying to go out there and, you know, be Superman or do stuff that you haven't done ever in the past before. I mean, you don't have to change who you are. Just try and get better. Focus on the little things. And, yeah, but there's, I mean, I've talked to people and that's the main mindset is just trying to stay who you are. Stay true to yourself.
Gabe, when you listen to him talk there, and again, it's not because it was my question, but I loved his answer there. And for those that don't know, Dr. Carr is their team psychologist. And you heard Aaron Rodgers talk about having conversations with him. You've heard other players talk about it. It is a resource that these guys use. And I think, you know, if you are a young athlete listening to our show, I hope you hear one of the best quarterbacks in the league and a guy who just became one of the highest paid players in NFL history talking about the mental approach and being in a good mental space. And I thought that was a really insightful, honest answer. When he said doing what you're supposed to, not trying to do more and not trying to be Superman, I thought, all right, if I was worried about him being overly conscientious or putting too much pressure on himself, if he lives by what he said there, there's nothing to worry about. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think he kind of went through this a little bit last year too, Jason, and I talked with Chewy about this yesterday on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. If you want to hear our entire conversation about the pressure facing Jordan Love, you can go check it out, Wisconsin On Demand. But it's a different type of pressure, because you're telling me at 2-5 last year he wasn't feeling some sort of pressure?
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that he had done in his probably, you know, teenage to adult life was to be a quarterback in the NFL. And at 2-5, things weren't going great. And you had 10 games left in that season at 2-5 to prove that you belong. And no matter how much confidence you have, I'm sure there's a little something in the back going, oof, man, maybe I don't belong. And you quashed that clearly pretty quickly. And I don't know if you would ever admit that. But he then was able to, and I don't think at any point he was, oh, I'm going to be Superman here, until maybe that last throw in San Francisco that we've talked about a couple of times today. But he had to look at potentially not being in this league. Because maybe he's a backup somewhere this year, Jason.
Mitch Trubisky.
Yes, but if he's at 2-5, if the Packers are 4-10, if they do the exact same thing over the next seven games that he did in the first seven, I don't know if he's a Packer. I really don't. But he's able to go out and play spectacular football to the point where he now signs this contract. So he knows what that pressure feels like. Now it's a different type of pressure that he's facing, but he's had to kind of look at him and look inward and find out a way to be productive without being Superman, and I think he did that last season.
Yeah, and you know, he also made another point in another one of his answers. And look, I give him a hard time because his fiance Ronica Stone, who's a professional volleyball player, is like, I mean, she is fun. She is out, you know, outgoing, and you spend time talking to her, and she is as entertaining as an athlete can be. Funny, engaging, and Jordan's a little more guarded, right? I've said that before. And I tease him, like, hey, is Ronica getting you to loosen up a little bit? And maybe now with the success he's had, he'll loosen up. But I thought this, it wasn't funny, ha-ha, but I thought he was really insightful. And talking about, you know, there's a couple other clips that I would love to get to still, talking about how there were a lot of questions about him. And that, you know, and about the pressure that you mentioned, like there is pressure as a first round pick. There is pressure following Aaron Rodgers. There is pressure when you're 2-5. And all indications have been that he's not a guy that wilts. And Gabe, let's be honest, there are other quarterbacks who have. We haven't seen them here in Green Bay, but there are certainly, history is littered with quarterbacks who, hey, when things were going good, they were fine. But when things started to go bad, they unraveled, and they did not turn out to be very good players, and they were the ones who ended up bouncing around and being backups in a variety of locations and then being out of the league. And when it was the most important for him to turn things around, and it wasn't just him, it was the young players around him, it was his head coach, it was the offensive line, it was all those things. But when it came time to turn things around, he did it. And I think that told us as much about him as anything. And again, for those that are voting, yeah, I'm a little bit nervous in the poll. I think there's ample things that we've seen from him that let us know that it's okay to be a little bit nervous, but I don't think anybody is terrified of what he might do. I don't think anybody thinks he's just going to flat out regress and stink. There's just those days of what it looked like when they were 2-5. There's going to be some games that he's not going to play well, but those days are long gone. And I don't think anybody's worried or should be worried about how he's going to perform this season. If he's, you know, if I'm going to worry about anything, it's going to be the fact that 66 different quarterbacks started games last year and 68 different quarterbacks started games in 2022. And can he get through an entire season without a bad luck injury situation that causes him to miss time? And then we can start worrying about what Sean Clifford is as a backup.
I think last year, the big question going in and the one thing we wanted figured out more than anything, more than even a playoff win, was, is Jordan Love the guy? He answered that. The Packers have now given him that contract. I think what 2024 is mostly about is, what is that ceiling? I think he's good. I think he's pretty good. Can he be great? Is the ceiling for him great? And I think that's what 2024 is going to be all about for him.
Yep. Amen to that. I mean, there is where he is versus where he can go. I mean, we're talking, can he be a three-time or four-time NFL MVP like the last two guys? Can he be a Super Bowl MVP and win a Super Bowl? That's all what the journey is going to be about. And we're just at the starting line of that. We are just at the starting line, too, of practice. No 11-on-11 yet. They continue to run routes on air. We will have more from there and more with Gabe Neitzel, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Stick around for more. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back.
Continuing with Gabe Neitzel, our cousin sub of the day. I just saw Rob Domofsky walk by. He's got a lot of perspiration on his head. It's hot out here. But he's glistening. He's not sweating. He's glistening.
Those are the insights we're looking for.
Yeah. I'm happy to deliver that. A little bit of a push off there by Malik Heath and one-on-one wide receiver, cornerback, tight red zone plays. Romeo Doubs, man, underappreciated. I think he might have been out of bounds on that touchdown catch against Jair Alexander, though. Before we get to that clip of Jordan Love, I need Gabe's advice because I don't want to eat up time from Jesse's Woe Nelly, because you know he hates it when that happens.
Oh, you can. I'm woefully underprepared today.
Okay, well, then, you know what? Then I'll wait till the Woe Nelly window and I'll ask for your advice as well. Okay, we'll do that. Let's because there was another clip, and there were several times during that press conference on Saturday where I was like, God, that was a really good answer by Jordan. And one of them was when he was talking about kind of his process, a leaping touchdown catch by Christian Watson over Eric Stokes from Jordan Love there.
Before we get to, you just brought up Christian Watson, so it piqued my interest, Jason. Has he looked pretty good? Has he looked a healthy version of Christian Watson?
He has. That would be the hope, is that he is healthy, though, right? I mean, look, if we're being honest, there have been times where you have questioned his hands, right? Mm-hmm. Rob tells a great story about a scout saying to him, I love everything about him if he could only catch, heading into the draft, which is a pretty harsh critique of a wide receiver, right? But the bottom line is he's improved there. And he did have that one touchdown last season. I forget. It was at Lambeau where he double caught it. Do you remember that one? It was like a one-yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. So it's still a work in progress. But the question for him has always been, for the last 2 years, can he stay healthy? Right? And so we will see if that happens this year. If it does, I would say look out. But I also think it's a very valid thing to wonder if he can. So he's had some great moments. Eric Stokes is having a very good camp. We heard Matt LaFleur talking about that earlier this morning. But on that play, again, it's an example of how much of a unicorn Christian Watson is, because not only is he fast, not only is he athletic, but I mean, there's nothing. Eric Stokes couldn't do anything there. Like, that throw was put in a place where only a 6'4" guy that can jump could go get it. And that's exactly what Christian Watson did on that play. All right. I want to play this clip because one of the reasons I liked it so much is because it really does piss me off that people just act like this was all preordained with Jordan. Certainly he has God-given talent that was inside of him. But you can make excuses about the changes at Utah State before his final season there. You can use excuses about COVID and his first offseason being wiped out after he was drafted, or the strange way the training camp was conducted, and the fact that he didn't even get to wear his uniform on game day that entire 2020 season. But what bothers me is to act like this was preordained undersells how hard he worked to make this happen. And so that's why I get frustrated by that kind of narrative of, oh, we knew all along. But I thought his insight into his journey in this answer was fantastic. Here's Jordan Love with us again from Saturday.
Yeah, very rewarding. I think just in my so far in my career, there's been so many question marks, you know, getting drafted here and being behind Aaron and not knowing what that whole situation would be like and, you know, where I would be, when I would get my opportunity. So it's been humbling, you know, and just something that I've had to work in the background, like I said, and just keep working and staying true to myself and finding ways to get better and being patient, trusting the process. So I think there's just been a lot of question marks on and not knowing, but I think that's the NFL. There's a lot of unknown. Everybody is, you know, trying to be their best and get that next contract. So it's definitely very rewarding.
And not only were there those questions, but he made the comment that in a different answer, you know, not only would he get the opportunity, but where would his opportunity be, right? I mean, I was having this conversation yesterday with Homer. Like, if Aaron Rodgers is fun Uncle Aaron about the young guys that were coming in here, and he does a better job of embracing a quick rebuild and is more nurturing toward Dobbs and Watson and Toure, and then he's here for another year, and he's nurturing to, if they draft them, Reed and Wicks, et cetera, you know, maybe Jordan Love's opportunity never comes here. I mean, you know, as it created a stir, Gabe, when I gave my opinion after a conversation with him after the Philly game, that if Rodgers came back for another year, he was going to ask for a trade. He never spoke those words, but I have 1,000,000% certainty that that's exactly what would have happened. He would have asked to be. He was not going to sit for a fourth year. And I just think about how his journey has gone, that for this, for him to be where he is now, I just think that it's yet another remarkable story that I've gotten to follow the storyline here. And there were many more doubts, I think, about his ability than there were about Rodgers. You said it earlier. Rodgers tore his hamstring after he had that game in Dallas during the 07 season. He broke his foot and played through a broken foot in that game in the second half against New England in 06 and landed on injured reserve that year. Like, there were questions about him, but it was more, this was a guy who was in the conversation to be the number one overall pick. He has talent, but can he stay healthy following the most durable quarterback in NFL history? With Jordan, there were legit questions of just how good is he going to be? And he worked his tail off to be where he is. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's why revisionist history bothers me, because he deserves a lot of credit, along with Matt LaFleur and Tom Clements and everyone else who helped to make those improvements.
And to your point about him not being, if Aaron Rodgers, we went through the thing with Aaron Rodgers too. If Brett Favre didn't retire and give the Packers that out, Aaron was going to ask for a trade because he didn't want to sit for a fourth year, which is, it has to be one of the hardest things to do, Jason. I can't imagine, because Jordan Love, for his entire football playing life, has been one of the best players on his team, if not the best player on his team. Doesn't ever have to sit. Doesn't have to miss games. Doesn't, unless he's injured. He if he's healthy, he goes out there and plays. What happened at Utah State? What happened in high school? All those different things. So to have to come in and sit for 3 years, even though you understand it, even though you know that Aaron Rodgers, at that time, two-time MVP, soon to be four-time NFL MVP, is the guy ahead of you, I got to imagine that's still incredibly hard when you are any competitor and you're just used to automatically, hey, this is the way it works. I'm here, I play, but that's not the way it was for the first 3 years. That has to be tough.
11 on 11 getting underway for those of you that are intrigued by the process at safety today. It is Evan Williams, the former Duck, who is getting the first reps with the number one defense alongside X. We will get to more from practice, but we need to get to Wonelli, and we need to hear Tausch tell us once again, as he always does, about his love of Coors Light. So after he tells us that, we'll have more with Gabe Neitzel, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Whether you're on vacation, relaxing in the summer heat, or just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lagered, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans, they turn blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold and only 102 calories. Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Well, the entire rolls on with Gabe Neitzel as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. All right, Gabe, before we get to Wonelli, I need yours and Jesse's advice. So at the far end of the field, there's a very large gate that the players then go out and pick up their bike kids' bikes and head back to practice on Dream from practice. On Dream Drive, presented by AmFam. Down the way, there is just a little doorway of a gate that we come in and out of as reporters, and the scouts come through there. Some of the coaches go through there. Some of them go through the large gate where all the fans are lining the sides of it. But now, because there's apparently an overflow of fans, there is they put up the dividers, and we go through this kind of tunnel of people on our way out of that gate. And I'm nobody. And there's kids that have they're looking for high fives. Do I high five them even though I'm not Evan Williams or Javon Bullard or Jordan Love? Do I high five them, or is it poor form to deliver a high five that they don't really want from some old fat guy that covers the team?
The thing, I guess, I don't have kids myself, Jason. So I just go off the experience of like my nieces, nephews, you know, my friends who have kids. Anytime a kid puts up their hand to get a high five, I'm giving a high five. That's just too, I mean, do they want the high five from Jordan Love more than they want it from you? Probably. But if they're putting their hand up, you can't leave the kid hanging. You got to give them the high five. You got to give them the, you know, that's just the way it works. I see a kid put up their hand for a high five, I'm going for the high five. But that's just me. That's how I operate.
Jesse, you don't think as a parent, you think more as a child still. So what do you think?
Thanks, Jason.
You're welcome.
Same thing. Like when you're a kid and you're like in the back seat and you're trying to get the big trucks to honk when you're on the highway, it's kind of the same thing. Like you want the big truck to be the one that honks, but if you end up getting the minivan next door that also honks, that's cool too. So yeah,
I think I'm the minivan.
You're the minivan, and it's okay to be the minivan. If you're getting a high five and you're bringing a smile to somebody's day, just go for it. Have some fun.
All right, I will take your advice. And now today there will be no kids there, and no one will want a high five. But I'll be prepared if they.
Wait, did you shun high fives yesterday? Or
I did
when?
Not. There were
okay.
So that was Sunday.
And
I delivered two of them. I think the first high five hand that was up, I was a little bit stunned, so I did not get that kid. It wasn't a snub so much as a. Wow, he's got his.
It just caught you by surprise.
What's happening here? Because it was also new. I had not run into a gauntlet the last time I'd come through here. And so I was surprised by that. And then there were two other kids. I gave them high fives, but they were, I got to admit, they probably weren't the most enthusiastic high fives. So I need to bring more energy today.
You know what? You're kind of the leader of the beat there, right? Like Domovsky.
Tom Silverstein's been doing it longer. Pete Doherty's been doing it longer. But. I certainly write more and certainly am on the radio more than that.
You're on the leadership council of the Packers.
I like that. Yeah, sure. Okay. Sounds good.
You should get all the writers together, all the media members that are covering camp, and have everybody run through at the same time when you're heading that way, and have like Domovsky behind you and Doherty and everybody, and do a big train of all the writers coming through. That'd be fun.
That's not the idea I had. The idea I had was I was going to give out pencils or candy as I went through instead. So instead of getting a crappy high five from some loser sports writer and radio host, you at least get candy.
How's that going to say, hey, Mom, I got candy from the guy at the Packers practice today?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I'm not saying that taking candy from strangers is generally a good idea, but if it's someone coming from
it sounds
Texas,
like you are,
I think
for it.
Yeah, I'll if it comes to that, I'll give it a try and I'll report back. Time now for Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Sirocco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I got to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Heard a take yesterday from Evan Cohen, host of Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. He joins our show, Wildy and Tausch, every Thursday throughout the course of time. Here's what he said about Jordan Love's contract extension with the Green Bay Packers.
I would bet right now that Jordan Love will retire. At the moment he retires, whenever that is, he will have made more money than any player in the history of the NFL upon his retirement.
Because his new deal is going to be when he's 30?
Because here's what's going to happen. If you look at his fellow draft class members, Burrow may make another huge deal, or if he's banged up, he's not going to, right? Tua, I would be stunned if he got another big deal.
Me too.
Herbert's going to be interesting because we all think that Harbaugh is going to make him great. Jalen Hurts, very much a gray area. I like Jalen Hurts a lot right now. But Jordan Love on a four-year deal with a franchise like that with no owner actually helps in this regard because nobody could be in someone's ear saying, oh, you got to get rid of this guy. You can get that guy. And their franchise, like the Steelers with coaches, the Packers with quarterbacks, is to have sustainability over the course of 10, 15, 20 years. It is more likely than not, the moment Jordan Love retires, he will have more money in the bank account than any other player in the history of the NFL upon his retirement.
So that's Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. It's an interesting take, but as I thought more about it, my question for you guys is, does it matter? If the highest paid quarterback in the league is just the next guy who signs, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Jordan Love, Tua, whoever it ends up being, does it really matter if you finish your career as the highest earning quarterback? Because then that accolade is just going to go away in a year or two when someone else retires.
It matters to your bank account.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Fair, but I mean more legacy. You know what I mean? Like, legacy standpoint, if you're saying... Well,
that's not what he's talking... But, Jesse, that's not what Evan's talking about there, right? Like, legacy, no one wants on their Hall of Fame bust earned more money during his career than any other player at the time of his retirement. They want two-time Super Bowl champion. They want three-time NFL MVP. So, yeah, money and legacy are different. But here's what I thought was interesting, Gabe, and here's the confluence of circumstances that help this to possibly turn out to be very true from Evan. He signs his first extension when he's 25. He will be 30 when he theoretically would hit the market again because of the four-year extension plus this season, so he's under contract for 5 years. He's not going to get, if he plays like we all expect him to, he's not going to get to those final years of this contract. So he's going to get another big deal at a young age. And then if he plays as long as Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, he's going to have more financial bites at the apple on top of that during an era when the money has exploded. And to me, that's the biggest factor, that it's not necessarily all about Jordan Love and how good he is or how young he is or what franchise he plays for. But look at these. Like, I still can't believe that Daniel Jones's contract at the time was like, wow, that's a lot of money to give him. But now, like, even as Daniel Jones missed time last year and hasn't been all that good, now it's still not that big of a deal that they paid him that much compared to what all these other guys have got.
Oh, yeah. And when we're talking about Brock Purdy getting $65 million, which is something Bill Barnwell wrote at ESPN.com last week, I don't think that Jordan will. Although, again, when you're talking about this, it's more of a longevity thing. And if it's a longevity thing, that's only good news for the Green Bay Packers. Like, if Jordan is as good as Evan is saying he is, it's just a different way of painting, hey, this guy's going to be really good for a very long time, and every time he signs a new deal, he's going to be amongst the highest paid. The only thing that's going to be interesting to me, though, Jason, is right now, yes, quarterback salaries are going up. Well, everybody's salaries are going up because the salary cap keeps going up. But if the NFL quarterbacks start to outpace the growth of what the salary cap is, at what point does somebody start talking about taking less the way that Jalen Brunson did in the NBA with the new financial restrictions they had with teams that go over the salary cap in the NBA?
Totally agree. And by the way, that is one of the better stories in sports because nobody does that. Nobody does what Jalen Brunson did.
No.
To the degree, I mean, all the accolades that Tom Brady gets for taking less than market value, as we had Mike Reese explain once upon a time. He did, but it wasn't the sacrifice that some people make it out to be.
Oh, it was more narrative than anything else.
Right. And on the flip side, Aaron Rodgers never did that. I mean, he just didn't. Until he got to the Jets. Then he did, which I don't know what that says. Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
With the Olympics ongoing, I caught myself watching swimming at about 6 a.m. this morning, and I was more enthralled with that than I felt like any of the primetime events that have been on so far. Taking the replay out of consideration, do you like watching the Olympics more at the obscure times of day, 6 a.m., middle of the day, or do you like the primetime viewing the best?
I mean, you can't take the replay aspect out of it. Would I prefer everything would be in primetime? Yes, but I have no interest in, like, last night the Brewers are playing the Braves. I have more interest in watching that live versus anything that's on replay. And if I want to watch Team USA basketball, or if I want to watch Simone Biles or any one of the other, you know, Katie Ledecky swimming, like, I'll try to watch that live. But I, chances are I've already seen the results by the time it's getting replayed in primetime. So I'd much rather watch something live in primetime versus replay in primetime.
Yeah, our TV is tuned to the different Olympic channels all day long. The good thing for me is that I'm working, I'm at camp, I'm doing the show, I'm in the locker room. And so I don't see any of the things that are happening live. Like Paula and the girls this morning, I think Simone Biles and the U.S. team were competing at starting at 11:15. So I'm sure we lost a few of our avid YouTube viewers because they wanted to watch gymnastics. But like, they wanted to see that live. It's at a time where they could. They didn't have any activities during the course of the day today. I don't see anything live. Unless I come home and say the women's team, the basketball team was playing, and Sid and I watched a little bit while I was writing. But, like, I can't tell if something's live or not by the time primetime gets there because I haven't really been paying attention all day. So that works for me. But in this era, like, again, I'm old. I get it. But, like, the Miracle on Ice was tape delayed in 1980. But no one had Twitter then. We didn't know. I mean, there wasn't an internet to see stories posted about the outcome of the game before it actually aired on television. So you do you, man. And I'll be honest, I don't really want to watch Brewers Braves either, live or recorded. So I'm good with the way the Olympics are being broadcast, as long as I'm not watching on Peacock as we continue our full show boycott of Peacock, except from Jesse. Who wants
you're
us
all welcome
to come
over
and
anytime.
Watch with us. Yep, yeah. There you go. Now you're finishing my sentences. All right, we need to finish the show with Gabe Neitzel, our cousin, sub of the day. We'll wrap things up next. It's Will Be in Touch.
The future is bright with QB1 in Titletown.
We're confident that he's going to be the long-term future, but we know in the near term and the medium term, he's our guy.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
So we're out of time. Gabe, you are, you know, when players talk about guys and say he's a pro's pro, it's like one of the best compliments. You are a pro's pro. You did 2 hours of Dude Tuesday with Chewy, and then 3 hours with Jesse and me. So you were great. Thank you for your service.
Oh, but thanks tomorrow, for having me on. Always appreciate it.
But tomorrow we have a surprise cousin sub, like an outside the box thinking cousin sub. So you can start trying to guess who that might be, but it will not be someone from our normal stable of cousin subs. Okay, so think outside the box. Try and figure out who we might have. He may rub some people the wrong way. That's the hint I'm going to give you for tomorrow's cousin sub of the day. You'll find out tomorrow at 9 a.m. when we reconvene as Tausch continues his time off. That's it for us today. Thanks to Gabe for being a great cousin sub. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Thanks to Jesse for steering the ship. And thanks to you for coming along for the ride with us today. High fives to all of you on my way out of practice later. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.